horse shit all night long. And it's me sitting in bed wanting to go out there and just start fucking stomping on these motherfuckers. And Hannah's like, it just sounds so great. Like, no, it doesn't. Like, I can't sleep with this shit. Like, what the fuck?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure those are crickets out there, though.
Maybe.
Go stomp on them, man.
I will.
I know you will.
Let me get some clodhoppers on.
Clodhoppers.
All right. Oh, shit. Let me grab that.
Quick, like a bunny. Boo.
Fuck, you were the one that fucking said the bunny shit.
Yeah, man. You didn't have to follow it up by hopping like a fucking bunny, dude. Well, let's see how this is going to work. We'll get back to this.
Dude, USB, right here.
Yeah, it's already recording, though.
Yeah, but you got to save it to the USB.
I can put the file on here later.
Oh. Have you already started recording right now?
I started in the middle of your fucking stomping on them rant.
That's not fair. Well, fuck it. All right. This is... we will let it ride.
I ain't editing shit either.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. This is episode 2, Panhandle Express. We are deep off in the tenderloin. It's not tender at all.
It's not loin either.
With David Thelonious Powell.
All right.
So we had an ongoing discussion about
Batman.
Hans Zimmer. Oh yeah,
and Terminator.
yeah, and JonBenet is still alive. Or still dead. Oh, she's still alive? Wow.
I'm just wait till you get in the middle of a story and kick some shit out there about JonBenet.
I just wanted to get it out there. That, you know, just for anybody that's listening. She's still dead.
And still relevant, apparently.
Ryan cracked me up with that shit. No, she's not, dude. No, she's not.
I don't know, man. That podcast, like half that episode turned into a podcast about her. Still got legs, man.
Old popcorn, man. He's riding that shit forever. So, what was that shit that you were talking about? The electric drum shit.
Oh, the mandola pads.
Mandola pads.
And they're fucking. They're the only electric drum pad on the market that's USB. Also, the rest of them are all. Like the regular quarter inch jack straight to the brain. USB you can use with your
laptop. Straight to the computer, yeah.
Yeah. So you can use any plug-in or sample library, anything like that.
Yeah, so you could just like take instead, any kind of fucking
instead
sample.
Instead of the boxed, like pre-packaged samples they give you or the expansion pack that you have to buy, this you can put it on your laptop and run any fucking thing you want.
Yeah, but sometimes, dude, when you get like an 808, like straight out of the box, I know that's old as shit, but like, dude, you can fucking, you can make some really good shit with the stock samples they have already on it.
I'm not saying that the stock samples they have aren't good, but you're limited to what they give you.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that you can't do, bank. That's what I'm saying, you can buy the expansion pack. This way, it's practically unreal.
Old school shit. You could just hook a mic up to it and record whatever, or like record bits and pieces off a CD, or now MP3s.
But I mean, like to use as samples on your electronic drum pad?
No, well, eh.
So, I mean, you can create samples from pretty much anywhere. There's a little bit of legwork to prepare it and make it usable, but I think it's a whole lot less legwork whenever you're dealing with a digital workstation software as opposed to the brain on a fucking proprietary
electric drum. Can't really use that shit on some anything that you would want to use.
That's some pro user shit. Like, yeah, that's not, you know, that's even myself. Like if I was like, I really want to use this sample, but all I have is this Roland drum kit. So I'm going to do this. Like, I don't know how to do that shit. I think I'm much closer to being able to do it if I'm doing it in software that's made to be easy user for doing that shit.
Brought to you by Apple products. I love Steve Jobs.
Yeah, who was the first one to bring that shit up? That would be you, sir.
Dude, you spent so much time, like, fucking, like, selling that shit. And hold on, before we get on that, I just want to say...
We can talk about this. Go ahead.
I just want to say, before we get on that, like, I really... I'm old school when it comes to digital creation of music. Like, I like turntables. I like taking vinyl, and I like finding bits and pieces, because there's a bit of, like, you know, like, you have to, there's craftsmanship. You're using your hands and the crossfader to, you know, like, manipulate the sound out of it. And that, like, that's, I don't know why, but it just seems...
It's still a performance.
Better to me than, yeah, because, dude, when you that's watch it. These motherfuckers, it's like you're just watching some dude check his email.
Exactly.
Like, it's not...
No, I agree. I totally agree. For a long, long time... I could not get behind music that used synthesizers unless I knew that band had a keyboard player. Like, and this is when
that's some purist. Yeah, old exactly.
It's before I realized, kind of, I've changed my stance on it. But at the time, it was very much like, that's not real. That dude pushes a button, does the music for. No computer's gonna write a good song for you.
Yeah, you still gotta fucking do it.
But at the time, like, I won't say that it was, oh, it was purist, I was on my high horse. There was probably a little bit of that, but mostly it was ignorance. I didn't know what I was talking about. I just took a stance and was like, that's bullshit, I don't like it. But now I've kind of come to appreciate that it's still another form of performance, particularly, and I still feel pretty strongly about writing music that uses those tools, and then the ability to be able to perform it live. Like, I don't think you should write something that is like, well, we've recorded and published this album or this song or single or whatever that is overdubbed a million times where it can't be performed live without some, you know, some trickery. Like, I think they should, if you can't recreate it, even using computers, using sample pad, using whatever, if you can't go perform it and make it at least comparable, at least recognizable as, and not just, oh, I'm going to push the button and it plays that track. That's bullshit. Like,
click track bullshit. Yeah.
I definitely think that it needs to be performable. And if you're performing on your laptop as an instrument,
yeah,
as opposed to a guitar as an instrument, that's fine. It's still, you know, you're still doing it. It's a different instrument, but it's still a performance. Like, I think there's a lot of merit in that. But as far as push the button and it does it for you, I think that's bullshit.
It is. But, you know, I mean, there's something to be said about pre-programming a really good song and making it from scratch. That being said, live performance is a sacrosanct realm to me. I love that shit. I've always loved that shit. I've never felt more right than when, you know, being on stage and everything comes together and, you know, we've had hours and days and months of hammering out, you know, the songs that you're performing, and you've done it over and over to you're just fucking sick of those songs. But suddenly, right, you know, when you're playing that in front of a bunch of people and they're getting into it, then it becomes a good thing. It's like,
yeah, all, that, that's the payoff. You see someone else experience it.
Exactly.
First time,
man.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I think it's funny because I kind of went through like an evolution of, if it's electronic, it's bullshit, into, okay,
I did the same
you can
thing.
Have like this, you can do that as long as you can recreate it.
I'm still kind of there.
But
I think
I took that stance and was still like, but if it can't be recreated, then there's no place for it. But now I believe there is a place for a one-man band to compose an entire fucking thing using his computer. But don't expect to go see
like
that
live.
One guy live.
Yeah.
And do it. Now, if he composes it and records it and publishes it on his computer, but then there's, you know, demand for a show and he hires musicians to recreate what he did, I think that's even more awesome. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
But
kind of like
I'm starting to see the whole thing as,
what were the guys with the cartoon
Metalocalypse?
No.
Well, that's the same thing as the Gorillaz.
The Gorillaz, that's who I was thinking.
Same concept, only...
Yeah, but they play it live and they have the right. Big screens of the cartoon performers.
Well, have you seen Malakos live, like their clips? It's the same thing.
Oh, I didn't realize they did live shows like that. They're
on stage.
Those dudes have written some crazy good shit. Like, good old school metal. Oh, yeah. Like, it's badass.
And it's
they're talented motherfuckers.
Those guys are really fucking doing it.
And you know what sucks? I have a really good friend who's a big metalhead, and he fucking hates.
Shits on it?
He does, dude. He hates it. He fucking hates it. And I was like, dude, come on. Like, it's really good.
It, to me,
and he's like, they're just a fucking cartoon bullshit on Cartoon Network. Like, nah, dude, the music is good. And those are real people playing those songs. It's done for comedic effect. Right. And I think that's what he has a problem with more so than...
Maybe if he's a hardcore metal fan, he may not appreciate the fact that someone built an entire running joke around the concept.
But it's hilarious. And it's musically sound.
Yeah, that's it. Somebody made a joke about the concept, metalheads or meatheads... And they really kind of they play to every stereotype as they can on there. But like, think about how many movies and not really a lot of other cartoons, but think about how many other mediums there are where there's this fictitious group that they're not doing any of that shit. They hire some studio musician to lay down some shit, and it's total bullshit. Whereas this guy was like, "All right, we're gonna make this whole concept around this fictitious band, and we're going to make all these jokes and stuff." When it comes to the music, that shit is going to stand on its own. And it does. He did fully executes on that front.
Fuck yeah.
I mean,
it's good shit. I like it.
They put out albums.
Like, that's some shit that like, I'll listen to, you know, in my car or like at home and shit without the cartoon.
Even the albums are, those versions are slightly different from the ones that are in the cartoons. Like, they're actually produced albums.
And they're structurally sound, dude. It they is. Write good music. It's good.
And I can't make up my mind which one, I don't want to say better or worse, but which one's funnier or what. Like, when it comes to a lot of music, but especially metal, I don't listen to the lyrics. You can't understand half of it. I'm not really inclined.
Dude, fucking, you can understand a lot of the musical content for a lot of shit. Like, dude, All That Remains. All That Remains has some solid fucking lyrical content.
For sure. And we can come back to this because I want to. But I don't focus on lyrics as much as I do with music and anything. Hold on. We'll come back to it. Because I do want to talk about that. But
you know why I focus on the lyrics, though.
Exactly. Everybody latches onto something. Everybody finds something they really like.
I mean, predominantly, I've always done vocals
and that's
writing.
That's right in your wheelhouse. That's your thing. When I listen to something, even something I'm really familiar with, it's not the first thing I gravitate to. And there are some songs I've been listening to for years. I still can't tell you what the song's saying. A lot of Tool songs, which that's a poor example because most people don't.
Dude, Tool has amazing lyric content.
I've gone back and looked some shit up, but for the most part, as far as like being able to sing along when I hear it in the car, I can't do it. I may go look it up. I may look into it because I know that there's some heavy lifting going on there with the lyrics, and I appreciate that aspect of it. I appreciate it enough that I will go back and revisit it outside of casually listening to the song. But as far as listening to it and singing along, knowing the words, not many, including Tool being one of my favorite bands.
Dude, I've known you for a really long time, and I've never, ever, ever seen you sing along to a song, ever. Ever.
It happens, but it's it's really, like, it's not the first thing that I really focus on or latch on to whenever I listen to music.
Yeah, but you're a big drum player, though. You know, you play drums, and you're a good drummer.
See, like, we're talking about things that I do want to discuss, but before we get too far away from the Metalocalypse thing, because we're drifting away.
Go ahead.
The thing about the lyrics.
I'm gonna fart in your house. I'm sorry.
Unacceptable, sir.
Sorry.
So the thing about Metalocalypse, and I don't know if this is good or bad or whatever.
Oh,
one of the things
God,
I think
stinks.
Is funny.
I'm sorry.
How dare you? This
safety
is bullshit. Oh, goddamn! It's in my hair and clothes, man.
That's why I called safety. I know someone who played doorknob safety a long time.
I was going to punch you when I got run away. This is some bullshit.
Yes.
All right, so... The Metal Lockup saying, I can't understand a lot of lyrics. I don't really listen that closely about it or closely to them to try to decipher them. Particularly heavy metal
stuff. But they're funny as shit, though.
But no, no. Let me get to my point. Because you're right about that. Like, particularly heavy metal lyrics, I really don't. As little as I focus on it, on stuff that I really like and listen to, metal stuff, I'm all right for now. Metal stuff, I really don't make much of an effort because I can't understand it anyway, and it's not really something that I'm latching onto, so it is what it is. That group, because I'm aware that he's writing lyrics that are, for the most part, is a joke, I don't want to miss out on the joke. So I have gone, because some of them you can pick it up, some of it you can't understand at all. Some of it you can get just little pieces of it to realize you can listen to it enough that you're like, what the hell is he talking about? And that will pique my interest to go look at it. That's how I found out that he was talking crazy shit to begin with.
Yeah, but like some of them are fucking like episode specific. Yeah, and I think he gives it context that makes it funny shit.
God damn, dude.
That's my wife's chili, dude. That's my wife's chili, that good ass chili. I get it. I'm so sorry, man. This is what happens when I eat my wife's chili and I drink beer. It makes for a horrific concoction. But the chili tastes really good. It's really good chili.
I hope it's worth that.
All right, let's air this motherfucker out, man. So
I don't even know what the fuck I was talking about, little kid.
I don't know what the fuck you just said, little kid. Right. I don't think the next shit worked for me.
Oh, you're opening the window. I'm sorry, dude. I will put up with the bugs that are going to come in.
Dude, why is your fan's like slower? Can I turn the fan up?
Yeah, I'm working on it.
So while Dave's doing that, I just want to say that it's not really half that bad.
Shit. Dude, something crawled inside of you and died.
It did. My guess is horrific. It's fucking horrible. And I'm sorry, homie.
I think I saw it.
And you know what, dude? Like, this is that was the stuff that dreams were made of when Sam became Lipschitz.
Dude.
let's tell that story, dude. Back in the
Sam had I think he still had. I haven't spent much time with him other than where I spent that weekend. But
dude, he had his gas was just as bad as mine, dude.
The worst ass.
Yeah, dude, yeah.
Ever.
That's why I got so mad when he bare ass farted in my face.
Dude, we almost came to blows. I kicked him. I was going to kick him out of my car in Philadelphia. I was going to stop in 30 degree weather and be like, get the fuck out of my car. Because that dude was dropping the worst ass inside my tiny little fucking CRX with freezing weather outside where we had to keep the windows up with the heater on. That's a rotten motherfucker, man.
All right, so that being said, a long ago and far away, we had ambitions to make a Superman. famous. So we all got together and we moved into this fucking house and we were playing Dreamcast.
Nah, man, keep it real. We moved into Sam's mom's house.
We did move into Sam's mom's house. Sam's mom wasn't there. She didn't live there anymore.
Yeah, we didn't move in with Sam's mom.
Although she did come back to the place a few times, and there was like one time where
she became the landlord.
She did become the landlord. And man, like, I had a day off and I was sitting like at where we lived, playing Dreamcast on my day off. I didn't have shit else to do. And I was playing this fucking action RPG. It's pretty much you just run through dungeons and kill people and collect loot. And, like, I was playing that, and she was sitting there, and Sam was sitting. Let me go back. When she fucking, like, walked in the door, me and Sam were laughing because, it like, before she got there, Aaron got real mad, and he was, like, bitching and, like, you know, he, like...
Aaron being Sam's brother, for anybody who doesn't know that.
No one knows that shit. So, you fucking... I wrote in permanent magic marker on this fucking glass cookie jar, "Your rent's due, motherfucker." And
that was the rent jar.
So it was
the rent jar. Put your rent money in here.
So, like, me and Sam were laughing at that shit, and his fucking mom walks in, and she... And it was their old cookie jar that she owned before she left there. And she walks in and she sees that shit, and Sam just, like, looks at me, and I look at him, and we start laughing, and, like, she got silent, so I just turned it around so that, like, "Your rent's due, motherfucker," was facing the wall.
Which means it's not there anymore. You can't see it. It's not here. It's gone. What's the problem? What are you even talking about?
All right. Jesus. So yeah,
technical difficulty.
It was technical difficulties, and that's why this is brought to you by Apple.
Actually, that was a Bose problem.
Okay, then brought to you by Bose. Yeah, the music jumped up real hard for a second there, and so we had to stop. And for the other motherfuckers who aren't here for the cast, I want you to know that was not editing, and so I'm going to pick the story back up. Right where we left off. So I turned the cookie jar to face the wall, and she didn't say shit. She didn't have a fucking problem. We just kept on fucking walking. So, but yeah, like I had my day off. I was playing fucking Dreamcast, and like she was sitting there, and Sam was sitting there. And I was trying to ignore everybody and just be like, "I'm going to play video games," and say, "Fuck it."
Did she know that you were living there at that point?
I don't know.
I mean,
I had my own room there.
Wasn't it like a thing where she was renting the house to them and they just like took on another roommate without telling her, and they were trying to keep it from her or something?
Didn't tell me that they were trying to keep it.
I may be totally wrong about that, but that seems kind of familiar. Like it was kind of a... "But mom comes over, don't tell her you live in here," kind of thing.
Maybe that was why it was so tense.
Maybe.
But like,
I may be totally wrong about that.
It's all right. It doesn't matter. It's happened a million years ago. But then she was like,
when she listens to this, she's gonna be pissed.
Nah, she won't. She won't give a shit. She's a cool person.
Yeah, she is.
So she fucking like she stood up and she goes, "Like, how much death and blood can one person stand?" And, like, in my head, I was like, "This is a fucking video game. Like, I'm not, like, what the fuck? Like, why are you, come on, this is my day off. I just want to fuck off and play video games today.
I'm
cartoon
characters."
Like, it's okay.
No,
they're not real
characters
people.
Were hurt in the playing of this video game.
So, yeah, so that was the environment. And then we were all sitting around. Their mom was not there that day. Thankfully, and so we're playing Dreamcast. We were playing Soul Calibur.
I thought we were playing Worms because we had to pass.
No, we were playing Soul Calibur.
Really?
Because every time somebody lost in the Soul, it was either Soul Calibur or Quake Arena. It was one of the two. I'm pretty sure it was Soul Calibur.
I wasn't playing. I was in the room and I was barely.
Dude, you never played that
exactly,
shit.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. I was barely paying attention. Until shit got real. And then I was back on board and I was like, "That did not just happen."
But you egged it on. You made it so much
worse. Of course I egged it on. What are you talking about?
Fucking so, I don't know what prompted it. Like, I guess I beat Sam and then something happened. Then he pulls his pants down.
Wait. Before, not to be like, wait, let me take it back. To keep doing that. But this needs to be said to establish the relationship of the four people in the room. This is what's known today as the Circle of Malignant Friends. Finally! It was an environment of one-upmanship. Like, everybody fucked with everybody, and we constantly made jokes at the lovingly at the other one's expense.
Dude, man, he isn't my brother.
I want to make it clear that it was all fucking fun and games. Nobody was out to hurt anyone's feelings. Some people took it more serious than others, depending on the mood, depending on what was going on. But this was a situation where, oh, you fucking did this? Well, I'll see that, and I'll raise you this. And it kept getting ratcheted up over and over and over until there was a moment
where... Well, let's get there.
Until this happened.
Okay, so fucking... I don't know what the fuck happened to promote this. Fucking...
I had to, as basic as what you just did, like farting in the room, like, and making people fucking... Yeah,
so I had the controller in my hand, so fucking Sam comes up. And he fucking pulls his pants down and puts his fucking ass cheeks right next to my face.
Unfiltered butt.
And farts. And so I was like, all right.
Which took about 15 minutes for everyone to recover from fucking laughing and freaking out about. Like, it wasn't just like, okay, I'll see that. All right. No, it took a while for the room to calm back down.
So then I pulled my pants down and I bare ass farted in his face. No. You know what? He didn't bare ass fart in my face the first time.
That was the escalation.
The first time he walked by with his pants on and farted in my face.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I don't think he meant to fart in my face. I think he just walked by and he farted, and it was like right by my head, and I was like, dude, that was fucked up.
Which you took extremely personally.
I did, and so I was like, all right, now this is happening. So I pulled my fucking pants down, and I bare assed in his face, and then he got mad, and he bare ass farted in my face. So the
natural next step was...
I took my middle finger and I stuck it in my asshole. Jeez. And I played to lose because I knew Sam was next in line and I knew I was going to be passing the fucking controller off to him.
You sat on your finger with your finger up your ass the entire time he played. Then he delivered the controller back.
No, I didn't just like hold my finger in my ass.
It was covert.
I just stuck it in my ass and pulled it out.
Your finger was in your ass while you weren't playing. Then when it was your turn, they brought you a controller. You played with that finger, kicked off the side of the controller.
Yeah, because I didn't want to touch the controller.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying is you rigged it before you got the controller.
Yeah, so I lost it. I lost it so I could fucking pass to him.
Right. So you could deliver it back to him.
As I pass it to him, I fucking stashed him right across the fucking upper lip.
A legitimate textbook execution. Dirty Sanchez. A fucking shit stash. Dude,
he stuck his tongue out and started scraping his tongue. He was like, ah!
It doesn't get any more real than that.
And then I was like, so then the posturing came in. That's when I was like, dude, if you are going to get me back, I will shit on your chest. Like, I will fucking, you will wake up and you will have a fucking, like, Cleveland steamer on your fucking chest.
Who decreed we do not shit in this house?
I don't remember.
Other than the bathroom.
I don't care. Remember.
Somebody was trying to bottle the shit. They were trying to fucking tie it off and end it. They were like, nobody shits in this house.
That's not in a toilet. Because you motherfuckers knew I would do it. You knew I would shit on that man. Everybody knew that shit.
I never thought anyone would fucking wipe a fucking doo-doo stale trail across someone's upper lip till I saw it. I was like, this man's capable of anything.
Oh, yeah, because I just met you back then. Like,
we've been friends for like a month.
You didn't know the depravity.
The depths. I had seen some shit, but that was some shit that I just seen.
Yeah, but you know what? There was always that, like, shit in my mind where I was like, I know Sam got me back in some, like, subtle, weird, fucked up way that he never...
I think it's just your paranoia.
It might be, but...
I think that's one that is bruising enough to one's ego to have butthole on your lip. I'm going to do something to get you back, you're going to know what I did.
So much so that years later... We all fucking were working in Philadelphia, Mississippi, working construction.
Now, hang on, don't fuck this story, because there's steps leading up to what
you're
doing.
You tell it then.
Again, with the fucking circle of malignant friends,
That's where the name came up.
The name came later, for sure. The name wasn't in existence at the time of the infamous fucking butthole lip incident. It actually is referenced by another name, but that's the story I'm about to tell, so I don't want to call it the other thing. So we're now in Philadelphia, Mississippi. We're all, not all, but several of us are living in this this one house, and we're all working on the same construction site.
Sam was living in a trailer with the
fucking winners,
the fireballs. Those are the dudes that tricked me into eating these cherries soaked in moonshine.
Jesus,
like, dude, I didn't even know what the fuck that was.
They were the ones that fucking convinced Sam that he had an eye for gambling and ripped him off every fucking payday.
Yeah, they did. He lost a whole check in the time it took me to, like, leave the job site,
yeah,
cash my check, grab lunch, and come back. He had already lost his check.
I don't know if it was that severe.
He lost his whole check.
Of money. I didn't know
he lost his whole check. Playing some craps. Get him, Dice!
I don't know that now. All right. So we're all working on this job site together. And again, you know, me and Joe and Sam are working on this job, and every chance we get to take a jab at each other in a very loving, brotherly way. And there, some of those janks did cut to the bone, but the deeper they cut, the funnier they seem to be, depending on who you ask. and so we, I don't remember exactly where it started. I do remember Sam writing with a Sharpie on this wooden structure the outside of the
one boob Tinas.
No, that was me. I drew that picture.
Right? The Tinas.
The flying Tinas.
Yeah, the fabulous flying Tinas.
Yeah, that was one chick named Tina. I drew a whole bunch of her.
Tina Big Boob.
Yeah. Anyway, so
because one of her titties was bigger than the other one.
Yeah.
Like by a lot.
So I don't think that story was related, but I did something to Sam, and just like the previous story, things escalated a little bit at a time. Sam went to there was like this wooden structure built at the edge of the platform where the elevator picked everyone up, there's like a wooden temporary door you had to open it up to get on the elevator.
That was where fucking, what's her name worked?
Oh, yeah.
Fucking.
Nah, that was addition? She was,
yeah,
on the,
dude, her dad, no, was, no, her, no, dad was a foreman.
Yeah, no, she ran the permanent elevator. Once it was installed.
Yeah, she did.
I'm talking about the structure.
I thought that was in the bathroom.
It was just a butt hoist. No, I drew the shit in the bathroom. Now, he went down to the about the Tinas. I mean, we all drew shit about each other in that bathroom.
Yeah, because we were separated. So it was the only way we had to communicate with each other during the day.
We didn't work side by side, and we couldn't go see each other throughout the day. So we would fucking write heinous shit about each other in the bathroom stalls. And periodically,
yeah, but it wasn't like we were like, fuck you, motherfucker. It was just like some fucked up, yeah.
That's
like,
why I keep saying lovingly fucking with each other. It was all a joke. Nobody was really out to fucking, you know, get anybody. But that's fuck. The more witty and the sharper it fucking cut, like the better it, the harder we all laughed at it, except for whoever you might ask.
Oh no, Samuel, I'm sorry, donkey.
I don't know if he took some of those to heart. I don't know if he took all of them to heart. But anyway,
dude, he took
that
shit to heart.
I don't remember how it fucking started, but it started to escalate. He wrote on the temporary one down by the butt hoist, he wrote, Dave Powell eats balloon knot. Which, for those who don't know,
that's a butthole.
That's a butthole.
You don't have to translate that shit. Like, motherfuckers, they could.
You'd be surprised how many people are like, what the fuck is that? My old man said the same thing. Whenever he, that job, when I told him, Sam wrote, I wrote fucking, I eat balloon knot. He was like, so, what the fuck does that mean? And I was like, balloon knot, man.
Dude, I figured your dad be right on point with this fucking.
He wasn't for that one. He wasn't up to speed on the fucking butthole lingo. So. So that fucking Sam wrote that shit, so of course I had to retaliate. Now I don't want to fuck the story and be like, I don't remember what I did next. But it eventually got to balloon knot.
You said some shit, he went higher, and then you were like, well done, lip shits.
That was it, but it was referenced to the balloon knot thing because it was You want to say, I don't remember how it, but I just remember
all those guys going like, what the fuck does balloon knot mean? Or no, they were like, what the fuck does lip shits mean? I was like, dude, I'm not saying
that's
shit.
That's it. This story's come up more than once. In fact, I talked to him about when I stayed with him a couple weeks ago. It did come up. And we discussed the fact that I was like, dude, because he said, you should, you know, let me finish the story and I'll tell you what we talked about there. So anyway, yeah, I reminded him, oh, you want to call a motherfucker out for eating balloon knot? Great work, lip shits, because he had asshole fucking smeared across his lip.
But like nobody knew.
Yeah, it was
nobody
still,
knew. It was like still, it was just among the people. Us.
Yeah, it was still an inside story.
Yeah,
and that's what we talked about a couple weeks ago when he brought up like, yeah, I wrote that shit about you, and I was like, dude. That was a fucking difference. He was like, what were you talking about? You wrote great work, lip shits. I was like, nobody knew what that meant except for us.
You wrote
my name. Dave Powell eats balloon knot in the most public, high-traffic area of the fucking job.
Hell yeah, because everybody had to take a shit while we're fucking working.
And this was on the elevator, so whether you're shitting or not, men and women, everybody
nah, dude,
that
shit. I thought it was in the fucking bathroom.
No.
Was it on the elevator?
It was on the elevator, which is twice the fucking traffic.
That's why so many people are like, what does fucking lip shits mean?
And no, like, you're dude, getting and it backwards. The elevator is where he wrote the balloon knot.
The bathroom
is where
you
wrote
lip
shits. Yeah.
So how did all those motherfuckers
maybe
know?
Maybe I did write it on the elevator.
I think you wrote the elevator.
I wrote it, no, I wrote it under his on the fucking elevator.
Yeah, it was side by side. Yeah.
It was the response. So yeah, they were both on the elevator.
But, so anyway, the fucking all these cats that don't know what they have no clue. And they want to know. Like, they hungered to know why you referenced him as lip shits.
Not only did they not know, and hey, there's something may be there, and it's kind of funny, and I don't like being the one that doesn't know the joke. But every time they would bring it up, we would be like, I can't tell you. And we would choke on our fucking tongue. Which only made them want to know 100 times more. It was only that much, like, more of something they had to know. It went from, like, okay, fine, whatever, to, motherfucker, you're gonna tell me.
Oh, man.
Did that story ever get out, though? I don't think we ever really revealed what it was. I don't remember that becoming a thing. I think
people didn't know that it spread. I think it was enough that, like...
I think he just assumed...
Sam knew that other people... knew and that made it awkward.
That's it. I think he assumed because last weekend or last month when I was hanging out with him, he brought up like, dude, you wrote that. And I had to point out to him, nobody knew what it was.
Yeah, we knew.
It wasn't the offense that he thought it was because people didn't know.
That was the prelude to fucking the circle of your friends. Because, you know, like he was seeing that and he thought everybody's laughing at him and he fucking... He had the I'm ruined moment and fucking oh, dude, that's all you.
I told the last story. It's your turn.
All right, so fucking.
I'll just hang back and interrupt.
Dave and I were living with one of the fabulous Funderbergs.
Fundy.
Fundy's undies. Fucking.
I miss that dude.
Dude, both the Funderbergs are awesome, man. Even though they probably hate each other now, I don't know. They're brothers. I hate my brother. I know what's up.
Last time I saw him,
I don't hate my brother.
Last time I saw
love my brother, but I'd punch him in the mouth and skull fuck his corpse. Not for real.
That was beautiful, man.
I know. But you know what? Part of the circle of malignant friends, I think. Fucking Fats, he summed it up. He made it real. Like, we were playing poker for punches. And Sam bet so many punches. And I don't even know what the fuck
because
hand
he was
had.
Convinced that he was a great gambler by his
dude,
roommate.
No. Dude, he lost with, like, I don't even think he
explain
had, like, a full house.
Punches, man, because not everybody knows what that is, either. It should be self-explanatory, but I've said that in front of people, and they're like, I don't get it. What is that?
Yeah, so
the instead currency of, is punches.
Yeah, so you, instead of betting money, you bet punches, and then however many punches you lose.
Punches in the arm.
That's where the winner gets to just wail on you. And
I'll
so,
wager you this many fucking legs.
You fucking Sam lost like, what was it, like 30 punches to me or some shit like that? It was an absurd amount, dude. It was like a lot. And I was like, I really don't want to hit him this many times. So I started pussing him out. And in the first five, I go, 1, 2, 3, 4. And fucking Fast was like, no. He was like, stop.
He was, I know, he was dead serious.
He was like, stop this shit. Stop. He was like, stop. Listen. He was like, look. You guys are friends. Don't baby him. You don't fucking baby him.
You coddle this man.
He was like, you treat him like a fucking man. You punch him. You fucking punch him, and he will fucking respect you for it. And so fucking Sam's looking at me, and this is already after fucking Fats lost to me, and I made Fats flinch because I was like, I'd lick my fucking fist and be like that shit. And then I got way back across the room, and I would run up, and I'd fucking swing on him, and I'd stop, like, right before his fucking, and he would. So I was like, all right, we need to be men now. Bop, 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 bop.
We need to be men. Take these 30 punches. Stand still and take these 30 punches.
Yeah, but shit, dude, we used to get drunk and fucking box like that fucking one guy. He called me Turtle.
Yeah,
remember that shit?
Yeah.
Like, come on out your shell, Turtle. Come on out your shell. Because I didn't want to hit anybody. I never want to hurt anybody. But like I like sports. I like physical activity. And, you know, I take a couple punches and I'm like, all right, man, you fucking hit me. Now it's on. I'm gonna fucking whip that ass. And he knew that shit. He saw that shit. And he had that way of like bringing out in me. He like wanted to coach me to be a boxer. And I was like, I like music. I like turtles.
I like shit fashion. Maybe you needed to learn how to box for the next fucking time you lay that shit on somebody's leg. That dude saw the future.
Nah, man, come on. It wasn't that bad.
It would have been when that second one happened. I mean, shit, it's only 15 years later. We still fucking talk about it like, dude, we almost had a fucking war.
Shot heard around the world and
no
shit.
Doubt. It's still legendary. And it should be, dude. That was fucking butthole.
Unfiltered ass.
Unfiltered butt, dude. Across the upper lip. Right under the nose.
I'm sorry,
Sam.
That's
the worst place to put it.
I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry, man. If you listen to this shit, I love you, fool. I'm sorry.
The super band.
Famous, famous, famous.
We're gonna be famous playing half a two cover.
Dude, my favorite memory of that whole fucking time is me, you, and Sam sitting in front of the chalkboard, and we were subdividing rhythms, and we were talking, and we were like, okay, like, you know, this snippet of music can match with this.
Yeah,
right. And yeah, and we were like, okay, this is in this key signature, that's in that key signature. We can write a bridge to connect it to. And then Ern James Keenan, he jumped in and was like, like, don't talk about math.
Just feel it.
But you know what? Like he was so he had so much charisma that he was able to talk the three of us
who being like, fuck this, making it fit. Let's just feel it.
Dude, we all three of us had actually like taken like a bit of music theory. Like we had all been playing music.
It wasn't like we were just fucking reaching out in the dark. And we were playing some really complex shit that you need to make fit. It has some of the way that shit fucking goes. It is puzzle pieces. You have to match up.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it is a mess. A big mess.
Yeah, but you can subdivide that and write bridges that connect, with fucking three, four pieces with 6-8 and shit like that.
Yeah.
But it has to match with the melody, the key singer.
It's a good magic trick mix of both. You have to, and not being able to discern this percentage of math and this percentage of feeling or whatever. Like, it's a good mix, and that takes talent. That's why there are talented people and not talented people. Like,
yeah.
That's what makes it happen. But it was shocking how completely fucking against the wall end of the spectrum he was, where he was like,
dude, he fucking sold it. We bought it. We were all like, I'm on board. Fuck it.
You guys are ruining art. Just feel it. And we were like, I'm sorry, Aaron. How do you count it off? Go! Just started playing.
He didn't do all that shit, but it was. He fucking kind of did. God damn. Oh, Aaron James Kingdom, man.
Superband.
Fuck yeah.
A Circle Malignant Friend. The Superband was a Superband. But that was like a
component. That was Jeff. Jeff coined the phrase, the Malignant Circle.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Superband was the Superband, but the Superband was a component of the Circle Malignant Friends, which included members that weren't in the Superband. That was Jeff, a little bit of Fast Freddy.
Dude, fuck it.
Fast Freddy didn't know he was in the Circle, but he was there because we were banging on him. It's like he didn't know that
lot of fats.
It's like he didn't know that he was a part of the group and that he could fucking fire back. But we just fucking janked on him plenty. But he was probably the subtle winner in the whole thing because he just completely played everybody by just playing dumb. And, oh, y'all making fun of me again? I just ripped you off. that dude was taking.
Jesus.
He took a bunch of people, especially Jeff. That was fucked.
Dude, he fucking straight fucked Jeff over. Like, man, he like. Oh.
That fuck is ancient history now.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck that guy. He's a dick. He like fucking. He had sex with that chick.
Like, that was the last time I saw it.
On Jeff's sleeping bag.
The most common.
Like, he fucking nutted on that shit, dude. Dickhead. Like he didn't even give a shit to like clean it off or. This is not good podcast material. This is just straight shit talking. This man, but fuck him. He was a dickhead. He was an ass.
That's the last time I saw him. I think that was also whenever Jeff, I think, realized, hey, this is fucking, you picked up a chick, wanted to bang her, had nowhere to do it, so you came to our house, and we were cool, like, yeah, man, come on in, because we're buddies, and he was like, hey, I'm here, this is so-and-so, I'll be right back, took her in the other room and fucked her on Jeff's sleeping bag, fucked up his sleeping bag. And then came out and was like, it's all good. And
I just want, like, yeah, but the thing that, that
I don't
he,
think he
this,
said
this
it was, that night, but that dude, was something
the
that
fucking,
was being said.
I just wanted you to know you was the number one use.
Yeah.
That was the shit that made me want to punch that motherfucker in the mouth.
Yeah, I don't think he said it that night, but it was shortly before that that was being said. I think as his attempt as a joke, but it was so poignant that you and me and Jeff, everybody saw it as, wait a minute, that motherfucker ain't kidding. Like, yeah, that's serious. He may think he's kidding,
he
but that's
fucking,
the truth.
Yeah, he didn't give a fuck.
Right.
He didn't give a shit. That's why I was like, I kind of want to whip his ass. I'm sorry that you feel like his friend. Like, if you didn't feel like you were friends with him, I would probably be pounding the shit out of that motherfucker with my fist right now.
And then the night he came over and just wrecked that fucking chick on Jeff's sleeping bag and fucking nutted all over and shit, and then was like,
it's all good, right, dog? I think that was the final straw. It was already eating at Jeff, but that was when Jeff was like, you're fucking done here. Like, you're fired. And I thought Fast Freddy was going to take at least part of a beating that night, but Jeff just sent him out. I never saw that kid again.
Dude, fucking Jeff I think Jeff and Mike are really, like, good dudes.
Absolutely.
And they're good dudes in a real old school way. I miss that shit, dude.
You're right.
I miss the fuck out of being around old school good motherfuckers that are like, look, man, act right and everything's cool. Act wrong and now this is happening.
And it's back whenever men were expected to have honor. And that shit fucking is something that's missing with a lot of people. A lot of people don't even recognize it to discuss it to realize that it's missing. But that's what comes to mind when I think of those guys. That those guys, fucking, there's right and wrong, there's honor and there's bullshit.
Woo! Yeah, but dude, like, fucking, like, why is there, it just seems like shit is so different now. And it's fucked up because all of us are still here. Like, we are all still men. We still have our fucking penises and shit. And yet, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what's changed. It's a different time for people.
Are we just getting old and you know, it's...
No, because I guarantee those guys still are living that way. Because when these stories that we're telling from 2000, 2001, when we knew the Funderburgs then, I worked with them in Kentucky in 2010.
Hey, I love y'all.
I worked with them in Kentucky in 2010. They were the same guys. I mean, they... Static between them.
Good
they weren't
dudes,
talking,
man.
Then they were, then they're, you know, whatever. But, like, but the same, this is the operating standard, the shit that you live by. Those guys, it didn't change. That's them. I don't think that anything's different today. I don't know.
I miss the shit out of those motherfuckers. I'll never fucking forget when Mike... I stayed home from work one day and fucking Mike came up to the door and he was like, what happened? Did you stay at home and fuck my wife? I was like, no, dude, no. I just stayed home. Like, I had no idea that he was just fucking with me. Like, I thought he thought that shit for real. Because that dude can deliver a joke so deadpan.
That's it.
That he fucking sells it. And holy shit, man. Yeah, please. That man is a god amongst men to me. He's
terrible storyteller.
You fucking whatever.
So Mike is.
I'm a good storyteller on paper.
Fair enough.
I'm a writer.
Mike is the absolute like master at deadpan delivery of some of the most ridiculous shit. he'll be fucking saying some out there shit, but. You can't tell if he's full of shit or not, if he's serious and means that shit. And like that story there. Like, I wasn't there for that, but I know how it went down. I can see it because Mike's got me with that shit a million times.
But, dude, he got people with the fucking, that picture of his wife in his toolbox. Or his ex-wife.
The Mardi Gras one with the paint on the tip? Like, it was some spray paint butterfly or some shit on her.
You don't think she looks hot? That's my fucking wife. Oh, you think she looks hot? That's my fucking wife. Like, no matter which way you went, he was like, yeah. I'm on you, man.
He was so earnest in the way he said.
It's deadpan as shit.
It is. It's not, like, angry. He's not... You know, you can't see it escalating. He's not like, this dude's pissed off. Like, I think the fact that it is so even-keeled and juxtaposed against the fact that
what you believe is happening, which is this dude's calling me out for looking at his wife's tits. Like, this is serious. Up against this face you can't read. You know he's not smiling, so you might be in trouble, but he's not getting angry, so I'm not really sure what to do.
Yeah, like you don't know how to react to shit. Yeah, you're like,
you don't know where you stand with him, but you think you might be in trouble because this is a fucked up conversation to get called out on.
Dude, Jeff's humor is much more cerebral. He would like say some shit and you would be like, wait a minute. Oh shit.
Yeah. That fucking, I miss those guys, man.
I miss the shit.
I promised Mike, and he I think last time I talked to him, he kind of called me out for being like, bullshit. I thought you were full of shit. You're not going to do it. But I still fully intend on driving out to fucking Oregon and hanging out with him for a while.
Dude, let me ride, dude. I'm fucking hang out with him.
Dude, when I get done with this fucking Africa gear, I'm planning on taking that road trip that makes good on everybody that I've known that's moved away or that I've worked in other states with that, you know, whatever, or people I marked drum corps with. All my friends are scattered across the country, and every one of them I say, one day we're going to get back together and kick it. And I say it over and over, and sooner, like, after I finish this job, hopefully I'll be able to do that. And that's my plan, is to take, like, a month or so, take a fucking road trip, and just drive all over the fucking place.
And then he died in a plane crash like Neil Diamond Phillips.
And then they held him
in a spaceman. Dude, you're fucking such a dick, man. You did that shit to me on fucking, what was that shit? Fucking Star Wars, episode 1.
Never heard of it.
Fuck you, dude. And you know, no, it was episode 2 that you did that shit. We fucking went into Walmart and you fucking kicked up.
We're waiting for episode 2, like, for the movie to come out. Everybody in the world.
Dude, you know how much of a fucking huge Star Wars geek I am.
Yeah.
And you're such a fucking dick. Here's what he does. Like, he picks up the book,
the novelization of it.
And, like.
The movie comes out, like, next week. Like, so everybody's waiting for it.
Yeah, yeah. So he picks up the book. Flips to the last page, fucking reads it, and he goes, oh, shit, I fucked it up for myself. Now I'm fucking up for you. And so he starts reading it. And so I was like, no! So I start fucking running. I start running away from him.
Down the aisle of Walmart.
Yeah, so he still has the book in his hand, and he starts chasing me. Reading the last page of the movie adaptation of the book before the fucking film comes out like a fucking jackass.
He did you a favor, sir.
Fuck you, dude. He didn't do me shit.
I don't remember exactly what the line was, but it was something to the effect of, and then they joined hands as man and wife or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that movie ended with them fucking being man and wife holding hands. And I fucking, since then, it still comes up from time to time as a fucking reminder of ruining anything. It's like the go-to shorthand fucking, and then some bullshit happened. Or fucking, and then they ruined the surprise for everyone. Like, it fits a couple different scenarios, but that's, it still comes up as fucking, and then they join hands as space husband and wife forever.
Space magic. All right, fuck all this, dude. Let's end this. Let's do some more shots of Patron,
and we'll do episode 3 later.
I mean, we can, but it's gonna be
a train wreck. Coherent. It'll be way worse than this. This actually,
you know what? I think this is actually really good. There's not a lot of comedy here.
There's a lot of actually inside stories. It's exactly what we talked about earlier, where we're like, that shit's going to be awesome for people who were there.
That was Brooks. Brooks was like, yeah, that was Brooks.
Yeah, but that was actually, you said, yeah, someone else told me that. That was my comments on that podcast when I said there was, I was kind
of. Oh, you said that shit too?
Yeah, I was like being loosely familiar with the starts and non-starts of the original podcast. Like, I got the shit, but if I didn't know that shit, it would kind of feel like a, great, you guys are talking about some shit that I don't care about. But
eventually we can bring you, the listener, in on some of the inside jokes. Not all of them, because then they won't all be inside jokes, but some of them you can you can partake and we can share this with you.
I just hope that once the inside stories, inside jokes run out, that the podcast is like, well, we got nothing else to talk about.
Nah, dude, it can't be that. I don't think it will be.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Because they're constant new things are being made every time motherfuckers get together, and I like that.
Word.
All right, word to Big Bird.
So let's see, in summary, don't. Fucking, what did we learn? Don't wipe your finger in your butthole on somebody's lip. Don't believe anything Fats says if he says it to you with a straight face.
Nah, man.
And, you know, fucking, and then they joined hands as space husband and wife.
And Jeff is sneaky.
Jeff is sneaky.
What is cancerous ass? I hope he doesn't still have cancer. I love you, dude.
I don't think he does.
Good shit.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't. Yeah. I know.
Well, I mean, he's still alive.
Yeah.
So he's kicking. He's doing good. He beat that shit.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Right on. And so I guess that about wraps it up. Good night. I love y'all.
Good night. Stay up, y'all.
Everybody was kung fu. Was a little bit frightening, but they fought with expert timing. There were funky China men from funky Chinatown. They were chopping them up, they were chopping them down. It's an ancient Chinese art, and everybody knew their part. From a fainting to a slip and a kicking from the hip, everybody was kung fu. On, we took a bow and made a stand. Started swaying with the hand. A sudden motion made me skip. Now we're in.